That leads me to ask this question this morning. Have you ever regretted how you spent a day? Maybe there's some point in time in your life when you've looked back at the end of the day and you've said something along the lines of, I don't think I've accomplished anything today. How sad it would be to be so busy with a schedule that we feel as though we have not accomplished much, if anything, in the way we have spent our time. But upon evaluation, people may conclude at any of the following at some point in their life. I've wasted a day. How did you spend yesterday? With the activities you were a part of yesterday, did you draw closer to God than you were the day before? And if not, what did you accomplish that helped you in your spiritual life? Or was it a wasted day? Someone might look back and say, I've wasted the best years of my life. Recently, Jeff mentioned Harold Everett and his willingness and ability to call us and ask questions of the things that he was reading. And he would call us up in the office and he'd say, Kyle, I'm reading over here in Hebrews, or I'm reading over here in Revelation, and I'm reading this passage, and I just want to make sure that I'm on task and that I'm understanding what I'm reading correctly. 10 out of 10 times he would be right. And 10 out of 10 times he'd end that conversation in similar fashion as this. Kyle, I hope that the children you are able to work with, that you are able to reach them and to teach them to read and study God's Word in the days when they are young. Harold would acknowledge and admit that he did not read and study God's Word like he should have in his younger years. But in his older years, as he began to love God's Word and spend time in it, he wanted more time. He would also recognize, Kyle, I can't remember the things I need to. There's Bible passages that I know, but I can't find when I go searching for them. Or there's things that I recall, but I can't remember the exact wording of, and so I go in search of them. I wish I would have spent time in my younger years reading and studying God's Word so that it would have stuck with me better. I hope that I can reach the children with Harold Everett's message. Learn to love God's Word. Learn to live in God's Word. Others might look back on their life and say, I've wasted so much time watching TV, playing video games, looking at my phone, spending time with the wrong people, being in the wrong relationships, or working on the wrong career. You see, we have the best of intentions to be better when it comes to managing our time. We know that we choose how we spend our time. And we also know that we choose the thoughts we consider when we think about how we spend our time. And so some look back on how they spent their time and convince themselves that they are doing what is right and that they're not making unwise use of their time simply by the thoughts that they choose to think about. But if we're being real with ourselves, we must acknowledge that there are times that we do not use the time God gives us as wisely as we ought to. So be reminded that today comes only once. Use it wisely. On Friday morning when the campers woke up in our cabin, I instructed them that today is the first day of the rest of your life. And a discussion ensued about how we get to choose how we're going to spend a day. But how we spend today will affect how we spend the rest of our days here upon the earth. And what a wonderful blessing it was to see young people come and ask for prayers of the church, for encouragement, for strength, to be the kind of people that God would instruct us to be. And for two individuals to put Christ on in baptism and to say, I want to make the best use of my time. Instead of focusing then on time wasted, reinforcing regrets, delaying more action or creating pressure and putting it on ourselves, we need to think about the results we desire and then act from a place of joy in striving to reach that which we desire. Hunter read for us Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, in which it is that reset that we need. It says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." We need to think of this verse every morning when we get up. When we wake from our sleep, we need to be thinking about how we are going to use today to walk wisely, to make the best use of our time. We must be careful about our conduct, because people living in the light of Christ, Christians especially, must behave like wise people. Wise people apply Christian wisdom to practical matters of conduct. And so notice what continues there in verses 17 and following. "So then, if one is choosing to walk carefully because the days are evil, they must do these things." Verse 17, "So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." In other words, spend time in the Word of God, which tells us what the will of the Lord is. Then verses 18 and 19, "And do not get drunk with wine, for this is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord." In other words, spend time in singing to the Lord. Verse 20, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." Spend time in prayer to God. And then verse 21, "And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." In other words, spend time with God's people and spend specific time with God's people, putting them first. In other words, serving them. Spend time serving God's people and spend time with God's people, serving the lost. And you'll find that this is a recipe for using your time wisely. Making good use of our time involves seizing and using every opportunity to show God-honoring conduct. We need to take time for Christianity, because when we fail to take the time, the hours, the days, the weeks, the months, and the years so quickly pass. And then we may look back and have regrets. So take time for Christianity. Take time for truth and trust. Jesus said in John 8, verse 32, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Knowing the truth about God revealed through Jesus Christ takes time. The devil is a liar who has convinced people to desire what he desires, which is contrary to God's will. John 8, verse 44. In the immediate context, Jesus is telling the people who are listening to him that they want to kill him, the very Son of God, because they have believed the devil's lies and the word of Jesus did not continue in them. They believe that they are not in bondage because they are descendants of Abraham. But Jesus says, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. John 8, verse 34. No one can be free from sin by a connection to Abraham or any other human being, except for the Son of God. You see, John 8, verse 36 says, if the Son of God, makes you free, you will be free indeed. Believers must come to know Jesus, who is the truth. Accepting and believing and continuing in the truth, in Jesus, makes a person free. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 instructs learners to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Seek God's will in everything, because our own understanding is not enough to help us. We must rely on God, depend upon Him, and have confidence in Him so that we turn from evil. Learning the truth and putting confidence in the truth, trusting the truth of Jesus Christ, makes us free. But it takes time. Take time for integrity and influence. The Lord told Satan about Job, "He still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to ruin him without cause." Job 2, verse 3. If you go to Job 1 and verse 1, we find that Job was blameless or faithful in following truth and trusting God. Satan was wrong then when he evaluated Job in Job 1 verses 9 through 11. He asked the question, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you, God, not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land." "But," Satan said, "put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to the face." Job continued, though, to be blameless or faithful, despite the trials of losing his livestock and those who cared for his livestock, as well as losing his sons and daughters. You see, the time to build up our understanding of truth and support our trust in the Lord is in the days before trials come. Job was blameless and faithful before the trials of his life came. Therefore, he remained blameless and faithful to the Lord. The influence that we have upon people around us is highlighted in 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse number 12, where our integrity allows us to affect the character and development and behavior of someone without force or pressure. Therefore, Paul stated to Timothy, "Let no one look down upon your youthfulness, but rather in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity, show yourself an example for those who believe." Having integrity and providing influence takes time learning the truth and establishing trust, and then being able to demonstrate that before others, so that they can put their trust and confidence in you. So take time for integrity and influence. Take time for meditation and maturity. The righteous person's a righteous person delights in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night, says Psalm 1 and verse 2. To be fruitful with the integrity and influence we desire, based upon truth and trust, we must avoid following the advice of the wicked. We must stay away from imitating the example of sinners. And we must keep ourselves from joining scoffers in making fun of religion or of God. You see, godly people take pleasure in reading and obeying the law of the Lord, where He learns truth, increases trust, plants integrity, and sows influence. Then we're reminded of the Hebrew writer, or the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 1. "Let us press on to maturity then." The Scriptures make an appeal for action, that we as believers move toward teaching which is appropriate for those who are mature. You see, turning from sin toward God starts the development for good use of our time, but we must continue the process. We must continue to pursue God beyond the elementary teachings about the Christ. We do that by meditating upon God's Word, upon God's law, and gaining maturity in His teachings that will establish our integrity and our influence based upon truth and trust. But all of this process, all of this development, all of this meditation and maturity take time. So take time. Take time for endurance and eternity. Endurance comes through facing trials that purify and temptations that strengthen us. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. In other words, here's my influence, here's my integrity. Consider then, it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Trials and temptations produce perseverance and maturity. God will someday give the crown of life to those who have successfully endured. When we need wisdom, we need to ask God in faith and trust Him, because wisdom will not be given to a faithless person. As we endure, we're looking ahead. We're looking ahead to eternity. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 2 exhorts, "Set your mind," meaning be intent on, "the things above, not on things that are on the earth." Why? Colossians 3, verses 3 and 4 answer that question. "For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory." In other words, aim for the true values which are to be found in the realm of the glorified Christ, who shares in God's glory. To be united with Christ means to share in His death, in His burial, in His resurrection. It also means to share in His glorious position at the right hand of the throne of God. It also means that we join in His final coming. His final coming in power and glory. We get to share in that glory. Endurance then takes time, and eternity is even longer than anything that we can endure here on the earth. So take time for endurance now by desiring what God has for us in heaven, so that we will experience eternity with Christ. Many well-intended parents look back on the raising of their child or children with regrets about how they spent their time. They find that their child or children are now focused on things that kept them away from being active in the church when they were little. But I have never heard a parent say, "I wasted time in going to worship." I've never heard a parent say, "I've wasted the best years of my life being involved in evangelism or outreach or service projects, mission work, or the likes of these." Nor have I had a parent say that they wasted time in the reading or studying of God's Word with their child or children, spending time with their fellow Christians, spending time working on their relationship with Jesus, or spending time pursuing the calling of God in Christ Jesus. Indeed, as W.D. Longstaff wrote in 1882, "Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His Word. Make friends of God's children help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing His blessings to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Abiding in Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, His likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath His control. Thus led by His Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. If we take time for all the academic achievements, the athletic accomplishments, the musical performances, and a successful career, but fail to take time for Christianity, what will our child or children pursue? How will your time given to Christianity affect a newcomer to the faith? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want your child or children to go to heaven? Do you want the guest among us this morning to go to heaven? Do you want the lost whom you encounter on a daily basis to go to heaven? A coach once said, "Instead of focusing on winning the national championship, I train my players to focus on what's directly in front of them." Christians use their time wisely by focusing on what is directly ahead of them, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, "Fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God." Look at Jesus and keep looking at Jesus. He opened to us the way to trust and to bring us to the goal, the throne of God. And before we enter into the very presence of God after judgment, there is difficult times ahead for us, just as there were for Jesus. But if we hold to our faith, we will share in the joy of His victory. But to share in the joy of Christ's victory, we must become fellow heirs with Christ. As Romans chapter 6 explains it, believers have been crucified with Christ and resurrected with Christ. Therefore, a believer is both dead and alive. Dead to sins, dead to the world, alive to the Savior, and alive to His purposes. The believer's crucifixion and resurrection took place at his or her baptism, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. So now we have a choice. And if we choose to sin, it leads to death. And if we choose to obey God, we receive His approval. Our body is to be presented as instruments of righteousness or slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification or being dedicated to or set aside for God's purposes. Romans chapter 8, verses 15 through 17. So I ask you this morning, have you taken time to be baptized and become a fellow heir with Christ? Not only is it the best use of anyone's time, but it is the only way to obtain salvation. So take care of this timely matter this morning. And if you have not made the best use of the time that God has given you to this point, repent and surrender to His will for your life. Take time for truth and trust, for integrity and influence, for meditation and maturity, for endurance and eternity, lest you arrive at the judgment and find that you have not taken time for Christianity. And so the Lord does not have time for you to spend with Him. Take time for Christianity now so that there will be no regrets on your part at the judgment. this morning if you're subject to the Lord's invitation to put our Lord and Savior on in baptism and to begin that development, to use your time wisely and to make the best use of it. We invite you to come. And if you're one who is a Christian but has not been using your time as wisely as you ought, come and seek the help. Seek the help of others, brothers and sisters in Christ who want to help you. But let us go to God in prayer that He might give you the strength needed to do and to fulfill His will as together we stand and sing.